very much. Appreciate the element of brevity of the introduction, but simply capture the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, in the closing introduction. I'm extremely honored and grateful to be part of the tribute today. I'm able to express my appreciation, my sense of kindness, of home, ethics, you might say, to Mori Barabi, how it looks to me. I was told originally when I was firsthand, the ground rules of today is that the focus should be on shiuri, on substance alone. Of course, we all understood, those of us who told us, that that in itself is difficult and reflects the emphasis of our Rebbe always on substance. But I think we as Talmid have also appreciated very much and shared the feeling, something which we all read from him, our faith that the tochen, the content, the substance of Talmud Torah speaks more eloquently, speaks more accurately than any attempt to convey personal feelings or personal sentiments disentangled from Talmud Torah. And because that is true, I think that's maybe the greatest tribute of all. The topic I've chosen to speak about, in the time that I have, is the theme of Tzvika, the institution of rabbinic authority, which is the backbone of the Jewish community. It is the source of essentially halakhic decision making, halakha being, of course, the Ruach HaKayim, the lifeblood of the Jewish people throughout the generations. And of course, this topic was chosen intentionally, precisely because I think it does express and reflect some of the themes that are critical to the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, as well as, I think, a proper evaluation and understanding of what it means to be one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, what it means to have that responsibility and to carry forth that responsibility from the vicissitudes of Jewish life as expressed in different generations, etc. Irony, of course, is that part of this topic, only part of which I'll be able to analyze, is a very famous Gemara in the second Sukkah, Safanot and Dates. The Gemara says, Talmud al Yoreh v'Teirabo. The Talmud is not allowed to render Piskei Halacha in the presence of his Rebbe. And the Gemara explains that the problem is not merely one of Afkirusa. The problem is not merely one that is presumptuous, a measure of chutzpah involved in rendering a decision in the presence of his Rebbe. But in addition to that, the Gemara says that a person who engages in this kind of behavior, lo yistayer leYilsa, will not succeed either. In that formulation, the Gemara implies already a relationship between presumptuousness, a person who doesn't have the proper respect and recognition of what it is that he has, in fact, gained from his Rebbe, on the one hand, and siyata d'shmaya, that necessary ingredient in rendering piskei halakha. That, of course, challenge one to find in the halakha the proper course for difficult times. Only a proper appreciation of one's root and source in the world of Torah, one's rebbeim, understanding who they are, what they stand for, etc., can lead to proper siyata d'shmaya, the tools that are critical, ultimately, to understanding Torah and applying it. The topic I will speak of this morning is Smicha, rabbinic authority. The fact is that the source of rabbinic authority, Smicha, is a complex topic, and that not only due to the substantive issues encompassed by it, but also by virtue of the fact that it is an issue which is plagued by terminological ambiguity and historical and factual confusion as well. As well as that, in addition to that, there's also a certain uncertain conceptual interrelationship of at least three different issues in halakha, which each of which I want to speak about briefly. Not entirely or primarily due to easily overcome misconceptions, but again, rooted in the colors themselves and the difficulty of determining what the nature of these three different elements are and how in combination they provide a framework and background for understanding halakhic authority in our day. Let me mention briefly each of these. Terminologically, The term smicha, used in the Mishnah, the Gemara, actually, use of the term smicha in the Mishnah itself is subject to debate. Rashi understands the Mishnah in the Beginning of Sanhedrin, which speaks about smicha tzchenim, actually refers to the smicha of the parhel and davar shel tzibur that we read of yesterday in the Kriyas HaTorah in the House of Shemitra. And it has nothing to do with the Mishnah with what the Gemara characterizes later on about the Gittel of the days as mismach sabi, as the smicha that we associate with rabbinic authority. The Rabban of Kirshim Shnayis on that days, in the Beginning of Sanhedrin, actually intriguingly suggests that this one phrase incorporates both things. That smicha skenem means the smicha part of the bringing of the korban of the parhel dam shel tzibur, we call Yisrael as a whole, or majority living in Eretz Yisrael, were misled by an incorrect tzak of the Bezdin HaGadol, therefore one korban is brought on behalf of the entire nation, and the Ziknei Bezdin do the smicha as part of that process, implying that they represent Klal Yisrael in this total comprehensive sin of the entire nation. Of course, they are the source of the problem, and they are also part of the solution. According to the Rambam, smichas tekenim, mismach sabi, or nation, the basis for rabbinic authority, shares the very same term, implying again certain responsibility to and leadership of Klal Yisrael, that of course is very clear to anyone who understands how rabbinic authority operates as we will develop it. But the term smicha certainly is used by the Gemara already, and after given of the days, even according to Rashi, to refer to rabbinic ordination. That rabbinic ordination refers to the classic smicha, ish nipi ish nirosh rabbeinu, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, requires a samuch, somebody who was himself the recipient of that smicha, the first recipient being Yahushua, and so on. It also requires a Bez Mishal Gimel, a Bez made up of at least three Dayanim, we'll discuss that as well. There's a need to accept, not only to bestow the smicha, as the Gemara explains in Matthew Dalet, in Masechet Sanhedrin. This bestowing of smicha only can take place in Eretz Yisrael, itself a very intriguing a requirement when we consider the Sanhedrin Oheges, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Chutz La'aretz, the judicial system once in place applies throughout the world, wherever there's a properly constituted Beis Din, and yet its source of authority has to be in Eretz Yisrael. This is the smicha that is necessary for Dayanim to render decisions in the area of Knossos and the Nefoshos, ideally Zelos and Kabbalos, etc. Yet the same term is also sometimes used to depict two other topics in Halakha. One is the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Hei Amud Aleph, what the Gemara characterizes as Netilas Rishus Nireish Galusa, and a lesser form, Minasi Sheberet Yisrael. The Gemara there explains that if a person wants to have the equivalent, I guess, of what we'd call malpractice insurance, as a dayan, in other words, if he renders an incorrect decision, then he would not be obligated to compensate those who do wrong. But that person requires a license from the Reish Galusa. Now, some Rishonim, certainly Poskim, who also perceive this as a kind of smicha, as we'll elaborate. The Ribe Rav, Baribe Rav, in the 16th century, famous Kuntres, continuously refers to this idea of Nitilas Rishus, the Reish Galusa, as a form of smicha. And some of the Nosei Kelim in the Rambam as well. And then there's a third issue, which sometimes is called smicha. It's sometimes characterized as the smicha of our era. And that refers to a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on that Hayim Beis, where the Gemara says that, Talmid al Yore Elim Kei Kibel Rishus Nirava. But there's a requirement that one's Rebbe give him the permission, give him the license to render halakhic decisions. That too, according to some, is characterized as smicha. Indeed, the very famous tshuva, the Rivash, the Sinagresha in Aleph and the tshuva, discusses what was then considered smicha in Ashkenaz in the 14th and 15th century, and analyzes it on the basis of that Gemara
on that payment base. Again, hopefully have the opportunity to discuss that a little bit. Shmuel Ben Ali, famous Gaon of Baghdad, speaks about smicha, probably in these terms. The Rebar Tzalomi speaks about a modern smicha, and in his Sefer Shtaros has a special shtar of smicha, also connected with this Gemara, partially at least, this Gemara that they have advanced. So when we simply talk about smicha, we need to define which of these three elements we're speaking of. Classical smicha, Yishvit Yishvot Rabbeinu, Metilas Rishus Merish Gerusa, or what's called in the Gemara's Metilas Rishus the Rabbah. Historically, there are confusions as well. There seems to be a debate, for example, when classical smicha terminated. Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvah Kufin Gimel, and in Sefer Azchus, in Yitin Dachan Vav, assumes that smicha ended sometime around the 4th century. Others, some of the Gaonim, seem to be speaking of smicha and jurisdiction to be done in Knossos well into the early medieval period. So it's not perfectly clear whether they perceive this still as classical smicha or not. Whether or not there is a later form of smicha, as we already alluded to, based on the Gemara's and the Hamad days, or no concept of smicha of Zmanenu at all, is further subject to debate. I mentioned the Tshuva de Rivosh, and Sinu Reish Ha'inhalit, and the debate that raged in Ashkenaz in the 15th century. But in Sfarad, it was a very different perspective, as the Barbanel and other Chachmei Sfarad clearly indicate. There was, as is well known, controversy in the 16th century as well, in the attempt of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael to reconstitute the classic smicha, Ishvi P'ishvi Moshe Rabbeinu, on the basis of a very famous and innovative suggestion of Rambam. Rambam in Parashat Mishnayos, in a number of places, and in Mishnah in Parakal of the Sanhedrin, suggested that, if Chachmei Yisrael were to get together and form a consensus, although there are different formulations, what that consensus would include, but would form a consensus to bestow smicha on a particular individual, it would be possible, once again, to resume that classical form of smicha, to reconnect, as it were, to the unbroken chain from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Something which is not only an important suggestion, but has, of course, important conceptual significance as well, in understanding what the true nature of smicha is all about. And that suggestion was actually implemented briefly in the 16th century, although caused a stirred great controversy in those communities involving all the prominent rabbanim of its time, Rabbi Berav, Rav Bach, Rabbi Yosef Kauro, Moshe Alshit, Mabit, and so on. And of course, the attempt ultimately did not succeed. In the time of Kumam Bina, in our own era, this suggestion was revived, and people wrote of it, whole literature about it, in the last 60 or 70 years, or 100 years really. But Leiden put out a collection of all these discussions of the reinstitution of smicha. So again, even historically, what smicha is in Zmanenu is subject to debate. What I'd like to focus on in the time that I do have, briefly, is the conceptual interrelationship between the three phases of smicha that I outlined earlier. Smicha of Ishvi P'ishvi Moshe Rabbeinu, classical smicha, the concept of Matilas Rishut Merish Gerusa on Manasi, and Talmud Oyore Elantin Kibel Rishus Yirah. What I'd like to analyze is whether or not these three are connected or not, number one, and what is the true nature of each of these institutions. Particularly, I'd like to zero in on one question. When we speak of this kind of smicha, are we primarily looking at a kind of license, a permission to render decisions, or is it much more than that? Does it transcend simply the license to be the posse and to render decisions? What we're really looking at is an individual achieving a certain status and a certain stature. A person who really joins Chachmei HaMesorah in some sense. Of course, if we're talking about Ishvi P'ishvi Moshe Rabbeinu in a much more tangible and concrete and dramatic form, but maybe even one who receives Matilas Rishus Yirah Shemusa and one who received the license, Mirabo, Talmud Al-Yona, came Kibbo Mirabo, maybe that too implies not merely the ability, the license, the heter, to give halachic decisions, but implies a certain recognition, a certain status and stature that flows from Rebbe to Talmud, with all the implications that all the implications there. Let me begin with the first chapter, classical speaker. Here, of course, it would be helpful to look at the origin, the historical precedent. That, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu's giving of himself, quite literally, to Yehoshua in one parsha, Pinchas, Bamidbar, Perikav Zayin, Sukkim Tev Zayin, Tuchav Gimel, trying to quote as little as possible to save time. And, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's bestowing of smicha on the Zakenim, also in Bamidbar, Perikav Aleph, Sukkim Tev Zayin, Tuchav. The psukim alone imply that what we're dealing with is not merely a license, but Moshe Rabbeinu literally giving of himself and of what it is that established him as the Adon HaNeviim, established him as the unique leader of Kol Yisrael Lidoros that he was. V'yatzalti min haruach asher alecha, Rabbi Shalom says that he would literally take from Moshe Rabbeinu, take some of his stature, not from him, share that stature in order to pass on the status. The Samti Aleha. In Targ Muklis, this is translated as Va'arabe. This is an Aliyah, this is a Minui. The individual becomes or attains a different status. The Chizkuni, Halatar, is already bothered by this and asks, why really is it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu himself to be the source of not only the license, but the stature and the status that is going to be bestowed upon these Muslachim. Lo yachal la'otzi miruach acheres. But we're told that it's nasa mehodo, isha sheruach bo, leman yishmu. And one has a sense that leman yishmu is not to be understood only in pragmatic terms, namely if a person receives smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, and not just a license, but mehodo, literally from his luster, from his stature, people will take him seriously and listen to him. More than that, the kind of leaders that Kal Yisrael needs are the kind of leaders, Leman Yishmu, that will flow from the fact that they too are Anshei Ruach. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Sanhedrin indeed speaks about a kind of Hashra, uses the word Shechina when he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu having passed this status to Yehoshua, this being the classical mode of smicha, pish mipish. From this point of view, clearly the psukim imply that we're dealing not simply with license, but with status, with stature. And yet, of course, we need to temper this by noting that the case of Yehoshua, in particular, might be unique. For all, Yehoshua was also to succeed Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader, and as a Navi, the Gemara seems to say in Sanhedrin Afinalev that smicha biyadayim, literally placing the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu on top of his head, but that was limited to Yehoshua. Although the Rebar Tzaloni with Sefer Ashtaros seem to have had a different girsa, he implies that smicha biyadayim transcended the case of Moshe and Yehoshua. The fact is that Yehoshua was given the status as a Rebbe and as a Dayan. But this, perhaps, is no longer paradigmatic because we don't know whether Nosan Mehodo Alav, etc., is a function of that aspect of his smicha, or really flows from the Nebuah, the successor, leader aspect, etc. Either way, the uniqueness of this initial smicha is reflected in the inability of the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Nafir Gimel to derive the source of the Bezri Shal Gimel from the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara says, Moshe was the original bestower of smicha, so maybe it's only necessary to have one. Or if Moshe was the Makom Sanhedrin Gedola, maybe it's necessary to have 71. And yet the Gemara concludes that a Bezri Shal Gimel suffices, perhaps implying that what took place between Moshe and Yehoshua was unique, was different. At the same time, the Rambam, both in Perek Mishnayos and in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin, quotes that first precedent of Moshe and Yehoshua as an introduction to the broader theme of Smicha Ish L'Ish, implying that whatever the differences are, it is still a relevant precedent, one from which we can at least understand undoubtedly that what is being transferred was not merely samchut, authorization to pass to Shiloh, but again, something of the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu, something of the stature and status of being a Chachmei HaMesorah, quite separate from the actual implementation of Pisgei Halacha. The conventional description of Smicha in the Gemara, and I can give a little advice, is certainly very suggestive. The Gemara says, Karolei Rebbe, V'nosel L'Rishus, L'Adun B'dinei Knossos, implying, perhaps, that there are two aspects, but of course not defining what the relationship is between them. Karolei Rebbe, emphasizing, accenting the question of status, the question of stature, the idea that the musmach, while he may function, might be a prerequisite for him in order to function in the area of Pisgei Halacha, but first and foremost, he is Rebbe. He's a person in the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a person who is Malame Torah in Israel. He's a person who is an exemplar and a role model. And then, of course, the second theme, the theme of Masa Lo Rishus, Ladun B'dinei Knossos, the functional aspect. The Rambam, in Perek Dalet Hilchos Sanhedrin, actually divides it into three elements. The Rambam speaks about Karolei Rebbe, about making him a samuch, self is very interesting, not for now, but intriguing middle status, and then his license in Milui Dayan. And in general, the Rambam is consistent in that he breaks up often at least the first and the third, the theme of Rebbe and the theme of Milui Dayanim, which is, flows from Smicha, but is sometimes spoken of independently. This question of the relationship between Karolei Rebbe on the one hand, the status of Smicha, being a son, and Nasa Lo Rishus Ladun B'dinei Knossos, the function, the license that he's been given, maybe is linked to the debate between the Rambam on the one hand, and the Yad Ramah and the Rebbeinu Yonah and others as to the process of giving Smicha. Mentioned before, either because of the Mishnah or the Gemara, depending on whether you read the Rambam or Rashi, that in order to accomplish this process, it's necessary to have three dayanim. Smicha skenim b'shloshim. The question that arises is, do all three members of this bezdin that bestows smicha, do they need to be smuchim themselves or not? The Rambam already in Perush Mishnayos expresses the safek with regard to this issue. In Mishnah Torah, he clearly takes the position that one samuch is sufficient. You need three dayanim, but one samuch. The Yad Ramah and the Rebbeinu Yonah disagree. They require three smuchim. On the surface, the position of Yad Ramah and Yad Ramah and Rebbeinu Yonah is the more obvious one. For all, the point here is to generate smicha. One would think if you need three, you need three smuchim. How can we understand that one samuch suffices, but three dayanim, or three individuals, are necessary as part of the process? But Belville, however, explains that basically there are two dinim in smicha. One halacha in smicha is that it's a maisa bezdin. Simply you require the act of bezdin in order to transmit smicha. But there's another aspect, another halacha, and that is that the samuch needs to be ish mipish Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to join that chain of Chachmei HaMesorah. In order to do so, obviously, one needs the presence of, the source needs to be one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, the samuch ish mipish himself. So basically, two things happen at the same time. If two things indeed occur simultaneously, the question is again, what is the relationship between them? And here, of course, a full range of options emerge. One could say, essentially, this is a Maisa Bezdin, but again, we need the component of Ish Mipish Moshe Rabbeinu. Or one could alternatively see it exactly the opposite way. And that is that basically, what's happening in Smicha is that a new chain and Masorah is being created, each with each. Although, it's critical that this be done not in a happenstance way, not outside of the framework of Psak Halacha or Beis Din, but being done in the framework of Beis Din. It's also possible that there really are two components, because there are two aspects of the smicha. Karele Revi, the Nasr lo Rishus ladun b'dinei knasas. And I think according to the Daif in the Rambam, I can see it, first of all. If you look carefully in the Rambam mentions this halacha in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin halacha Beis. And in Perek Dalet halacha Gimel, only then does he cite the function of Netilas Rishus in the context of the Maaseh Beis Din requirement. Almost as if the Rambam is telling us that the requirement of the Beis Din in this process itself flows from Nosel and Rishus Ladun, the Dinei Knasas. Rambam here in Perek Dalet, and Hilchos Sanhedrin, Ketzad Yasmicha Ledoros, Then Rambam goes on, Ketzad Yasmicha Ledoros, Lo Sheyisluchu Yidei Al Rosh Hazaken, Ela Shekorim Lo Rebbe, Orim Lo Hareach Samuch, V'yesh Lecha Rishus Ladin Afilu Dinei Knasas. And after that, the Rambam says, "Ein sochin smicha shemiliyatz kainu b'dayanus, ela b'shlosha." So why is it necessary for the Rambam to repeat what smicha is in this context? And if we're noticing already, then not so, to focus only on one aspect of it, shehi miliyatz kainu b'dayanus. And here's where he says, "Ela b'shlosha." V'hu sheyia ha'echad mehem samuch l'piacher k'moshu b'yarnu. Possible. What Rambam had in mind is that had smicha only been Karolei Revi, maybe it wouldn't have been necessary to have a Maaseh Beis Din. Had smicha only been the Tilas Rishus, maybe there wouldn't have been a requirement of Echad Mehem Samuch. But precisely because there are these two components, there are these two elements in the process as well. Of course, according to the Avramah, Rabbi Yom would disagree, and would demand that the three smuchim be also constant to Maaseh Beis Din. It's quite possible they simply argue that you can't break the components into two. You need an integrated process, one which reflects the seamless relationship between the two elements themselves. On the other hand, there is strong evidence, at least, for a functional motif in smicha. The possibility of a partial smicha, limited either in time or in function, may point in that direction. Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hem and Aleph speaks about Netilas Rishus Mareish Galusa, as I mentioned before. And the Gemara there speaks about different areas of halacha. Yore Yore, Yodin Yodin, Yatzer Bechor. And the Gemara discusses that some received all three areas of Rishus, and others received only a partial license. Yatu Bechor is not included, and so on. The Rambam, in Perek Dalet Hilchos Sanhedrin Halachos, Ches through Yud, develops the idea that there can be a partial smicha, not only with regard to Netilas Rishus and Yoresh Gelusa, which is what Bavli speaks about, but also with respect to classical smicha itself. The Rambam here explains, Barushari and Kobi Shemisrach Somech and Palidam, I'm sorry. Yesh Lehem Limanos Kobi Shemitzel and Bar Yechidim, The Rambam has the idea of a partial smicha, but he has it in context of discussing classical smicha, ish v'ish and rosh rabbeinu, whereas the Gemara of Bavli speaks about it in terms of Netilas Rishus v'Rish Galusa. Because if Mishnah and Rambam suggests that the Rambam derives one from the other, and if Makar is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so on the Pehemadah, implying a relationship I alluded to earlier between these two different phases, as if the Tilas Rishut Reish Galusa itself is a kind of Sima. The Lecha Mishnah and the Rambam himself makes it clear in Pirshei Shais and Karos that in fact the Makar of the Rambam is not the Bavli, but the Ushalim. Shami and Chagiga, Parak Aleph, Halachet, of course you don't read it, but at least it can be read as referring to classical smicha and as establishing again this possibility of dividing different areas of Halacha. Even if one assumes that there can be a partial smicha, one still encounters two formulations even within the Rambam's own position. In Pirshei Mishnayos, it sounds in the Rambam as if it is necessary to have an explicit, comprehensive smicha. In other words, naturally, smicha is divisible. It relates only to the areas in which the license is given. Whereas, in Paradalot, Sanhedrin, one reads it carefully, it would appear that the Rambam's position is opposite of that. Rambam there seems to indicate that one can artificially limit a naturally comprehensive smicha. But per se, smicha really does give license across the board. The possibility of a partial samuch, or a technical commitment to refrain from rendering decisions in all areas of halakha then, emerges two formulations of this partial smicha. In any case, a partial smicha obviously implies a functional theme in the rendering of Piskei Halakha, rather than the focus on the Gabra, on the individual, as a Samukh. Whether this is artificial then, or natural, would have bearing on whether primarily we view Smicha as being related to the Gabra, to the personality, Tachni HaMesorah, etc., or to the function. At the same time, there's another striking position that the Rambam takes, which points in the direction of status and of stature. I read it very quickly just a moment ago. The Rambam says that even if you can divide the implementation, the rendering of halakhic decisions, different areas of halakha, even if you can do that, the individual who receives even a partial smicha has to be roi, lahoros, v'kala farakuma. The Rambam goes on in the next halakha, halakha yud, which I didn't read, to suggest that this applies not only in terms of his ideos, in terms of his knowledge, but even practically, Summa would also be excluded because he can't render decisions in certain areas of halakha from receiving even a partial smicha. Again, the question is, where did the Rambam get this from? And the debate rages whether it was from the Yerushalmi, mentioned before, or other Makoros. But clearly, what seems to emerge is a critical prerequisite for smicha. Roi l'chalat harakul. And while one can make at least a partial case for this also having functional significance and implications, perhaps the idea is that in order to render proper, precise, intuitive halakhic decisions in any area of halakha, one needs to have strong grounding, one needs to have the total understanding of all areas of halakha. Not only because here and there there are interfaces which are subtle, but because precisely of the area of the motif of intuition, the idea that some piskei halakha, very complex cases, a person needs to rely on his total sense of what is at stake, being ro'es hanolad, of understanding the interrelationship, force of various factors, etc. On a purely functional level then, ro'i lahoros b'chalat harakula makes one a better posek, even if one's license is limited to specific areas of halakha. But undoubtedly, beyond that, and of course, closely related to this broader understanding of what psak halakha in any one area is anyway, is the idea that in order to achieve this license, one has to be karele rebbe first and foremost. And that necessitates roi lahoros b'kolat harakula. Indeed, this idea of the Rambam certainly mitigates the significance of the limited smicha considerably. From this point of view, one could look, in the context of classical smicha, at some of the broader requirements and dimensions from a different point of view. We don't have time to pursue it now. Sulei, dayanim, all sorts of requirements for dayan that at first glance appear to be incidental. But upon further reflection, one can understand as being connected to the idea of Roi Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula, or, as the Pasuk says, Leman Yishmu, how a person's Pitzkei Halakha will be received, and what goes into that concept of Pesach Halakha. But in addition to the idea of Korele Rebbe, a person representing Chach Mihamasorah B'gavra as an individual, the stature and the status. So for example, all sorts of issues that come up, Saris, Ger, the need for Yuchsin, to be Doma Lamosha Rabbeinu, the Psul of a Balmum, Russia, of course, Suma, and so on. All of these need to be analyzed in light of these two or three perspectives. Clearly, the Isur of Klala, Kilas, Dayan, based on the fact that the Torah uses the word Elohim, saying Elohim because it refers to Dayan, but of course meant to coincide with Elohim, for whom the Elohim is a representative. The idea of Zaken Mamre, which applies to a Gavra, Samuch, even if he has never actually rendered Pisgah Halakha out there exercising his license. All of these certainly point to the fact that Nismach Samech, that Smicha Korele Rebbe, is the dominant theme. Indeed, that is the foundation for the license, the Nasan al Rishus Ladun Dibine, Nasas, etc. This is one aspect. If we turn then to the next phase, principle of Nitilas Rishus Reish Gelusa, we find that there are parallels as well as, of course, discrepancies. Mentioned before, the Gemara Daf Hamad Aleph in Sanhedrin establishes Nitilas Rishus Reish Gelusa, getting license from the ruler of the Jewish community, the head of the Jewish community, as being a prerequisite to certain aspects of the question is, what is the relationship between that and smicha? I've already alluded to that. And what is the nature, again, of this Nitilas Rishus? Is it purely license, or is it a certain acknowledgement of status and of stature, which in turn has implications in terms of license and so on? The Gemara Havamina, the Hamad Aleph and Sanhedrin, that without the Tilas Rishus and Reish Gelusa, Dino Eino Din. Again, I'm not going to read it because the hour is already getting a little late. Of course, that Havamina, that one cannot even render Pitzkei Halakha without the permission of the head of the Jewish community, establishes, number one, the Klal Yisrael role of a Dayan, but of course, does also establish this as more than simply license. The Maskana, of course, is that in order to render Pitzkei Halakha, it is not necessary to have the Tilas Rishus and Reish Gelusa. But for one to be protected from kind of judicial malpractice through Tashlumin, this is a necessity. And according to Balei Tosfos and the Rambam, Kfiya, the ability to force litigants to appear in front of a court, is also a function of the Tilas Rishus Mireish Gelusa. Through Tashlumin sounds like a more technical point, but certainly Kfiya, the ability to force Dayanim against their will to accept the psak and to appear in the presence of a particular Beis Din, that certainly does seem to indicate not only license, but a stature. The question of a partial Nitilas Rishus is established in the Gemara quite clearly. If one were to reject the position of the Rambam, and to argue that there is no partial Rishus, no partial Smicha, in Ishmi Pishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet there is a partial Nitilas Rishus Mereshkin itself, that might set up a situation in which the discrepancy between these two institutions would emerge. And we would argue that Smicha, Korele Rebbe, is focused on stature, while the Tilas Rishus Reish Gelusa is more in the form of license. On the other hand, if we accept the position of Rambam, which is that there is partial Smicha as well, so then the question is, what is the relationship between these two? How should we understand the parallel? Certainly, according to those suggestions in the Nosei Kalim, that the Rambam got this from the Tilas Rishus Reish Galus itself, so clearly there is an established relationship between them. How to assess it, again, is another matter. Shall we say that the source of this halakha in Tilas Rishus Reish Galus implies a certain functionality, and that expresses itself even in classical smicha? Or does the fact that the Rambam assumes that this applies to classical smicha may indicate that he understood that even in the context of Matilas Rishus Mareish Galusa, the partial function is still an aspect, or still, or at least does not preclude still, the idea that Matilas Rishus Mareish Galusa reflects a certain stature, status, beyond the license. In any case, if there is a requirement of Roy the Kala Tarakula, even for the Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa, as there is in Smicha, that certainly would point in the direction that the Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa is itself more than a license, but again, refers to who the individual is, etc. This is the debate among some of the Acharonim, whether Roy the Kala Tarakula position, the requirement established by Yerushalmi and Chagiga, is something that would apply to this phase as well. The Rabbi Matirish Mishnayis and Bukharos does seem to apply it even to Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa. In Paragdalot of Sanhedrin, the Rambam omits any mention of this requirement outside of his discussion of classical smicha, Ishmi Bish Mosh Rabbein. But it should also be noted that the Rambam doesn't really focus on the division of the Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa into different areas of halacha either. Again, that discussion is certainly and the Babu at least takes place with respect to Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa, is only quoted by the Rambam in Paragdalot of the Sanhedrin with regard to classical smicha. So you have to weigh the evidence in both directions. Isn't the Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa transmittable to others by the recipient without the Reish Galusa? In other words, I receive Rishus Mareish Galusa to render this kind of decision, and I pass that on to my Talmidim, and so on. Tosus on the Pehemet Aleph in Sanhedrin says yes. And Tosus compares it to Smicha. Tosus says this is true. After all, we see that in Smicha, it's not necessary that your Rebbe who bestowed Smicha upon you bestow Smicha on your Talmidim. You, once your recipient, have the ability to transfer that status to others. So, same is true, says Tosus, with regard to the Tilas Rishus Mareish Galusa. Of course, the implication here, number one, the fact that you can quote the context of classical smicha as a source. And number two, the substance of the issue itself. The idea that I can pass this on implies that it's a stature. I become somebody who's a barhachi to give this to others. I'm merely receiving a license to render piskei halacha, and that is not something which affects my status beyond transcending that idea. But of course, it would be an inability to transfer it to others. Rivash, on the other hand, in his Tshuva, says Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yoda already implies this on the Pehemet Aleph and Sanhedrin, seem to disagree, seem to argue that the Reish Galusa alone has the prerogative of giving this license, rejecting strongly the parallel between classical smicha on the one hand and the Tilas Rishus Reish Galusa on the other. The effectiveness for Inner Roy is an issue as well. The Rambam, in a very famous passage, says that the attempt to impose smicha on one who is undeserving is doomed to failure. And instead of quoting a makar, the Rambam quotes a mashal, which from a certain point of view makes his position much more powerful. Mi she'ena roi ladurim, mifnei she'ena yodea, o mifnei she'ena hagurim, Avarosh Golos, the Nasan of Rishus, the Shakal Benton, the Nasan of Rishus, Ein HaRishus Mo'elis Mo'klo, Adchi Hei Rod, Shamaktish Balmum Mizveach, Ein HaKdusha Chalala. The idea that just as you cannot create a korban, if it's Ein HaRoy, if it's a Balmum, you can't make a Balmum into a korban, you can't make an Ein HaRoy, not only into a Samuk, but into a Nota Rishus Mareish Galusa, all of this points to the fact that what we're dealing with here transcends simply the license, implies that we're dealing with a certain status, with a certain stature. On the other hand, the Chidushi Haran and the Agramah seem to imply that This is conceivable. How far they go with it, how Eroi, I don't know. But certainly, they seem to imply that even if he's not very Roy, that this status, or this license, is possible. Possibly, again, it reflects this debate. The Marib Rab, in his Kuntres, sees smicha of the Tilas Rishus, the Reish Gemusa, as relevant to smicha ish l'pish. He wants to prove that the Rif believes in a smicha b'zman hazeh. He notes the fact that the Rif quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ne'om Aleph as evidence. Others, of course, pointed out that that's not classic smicha, therefore no raya. Again, an indication of this debate. The halachic parallels between classical smicha and the Tilas Rishus Reish Gemusa apply in other areas as well. Is a samuch kapuch lematzmich to Rabbo? Can a person give smicha to others in the city of his Rebbe? Issues discussed by the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch with regard to smicha classically and with regard to Metilas Rishus Reish Gemusa, part of the issue being again the relationship between these different things. And now we come to the third phase. The Gemara Sanhedrin, very famous pastor, Talmud Beis, says, why is it necessary for there to be license in the area of Yisrael Hed? Well, one of the three areas that the Gemara speaks on, Yori Yori, Yadin Yadin, Yatsu Bechor. So Yori Yori, of course, first piece of the head. The Gemara says, why in Yori Yori do you need a license? And the Gemara says that there was a Takana that was instituted, Talmud Yori Yori became Tiba Mishus Mirabo. The Gemara tells a very famous story of a certain halachacha who went out into the community and rendered tzak halacha and said that tried to say that they beitzim are not mashu lekabel tuma. The people misunderstood what he said. They probably said they betzayim instead of they beitzim. And as a result, they were nichshal and they were megabel their isa the tuma. As a result, when they were involved in making a challah, topic is dear to us all. They did it the Tum. And the Gemara says, therefore they made a takana at that point in time, the Talmud al Yora Elam came Kibo Rishus Mirabah. According to many, this is the basis for modern day Sikha. Clearly the motivation relates to the ensuring of standards. In the case of the Gemara, standards of communication. Don't let somebody loose on the tibor. Have a sense of responsibility if you can't communicate, that people are going to misunderstand it from scale up. But undoubtedly, this is not limited to communication, it's even communication. The primary point is that the Rebbe has an obligation to the Jewish community to make sure that his Talmidim or Mora Hora are equipped to do so, that they're responsible, obviously, on the level of Yerushalayim, on the level of Talmud Torah, in addition to the level of communication. The question, however, is this really an issue of smicha, psak? And if so, again, does it reflect the Rebbe's regard for his Talmud and bestowing upon him a certain stature and status? Or maybe it really is more pragmatic, limited to license? Or maybe it's even related to a whole other matter. That is the matter of Kavod Rabba. Closely connected to the Gemara here, continuation of the same Gemara in Haman Beis, elaborated on by Gemara in Sanhedrin, Gemara in Eruvin, rather, by Salah Himmel, Gemara in Suda Sav Samech, that I mentioned earlier on, and that is the principle of Talmud al Yore Bifnei Rabba. It's a huge machlokas rishonim, what the relationship is between Talmud al Yore Elon Ken Kilo Roshusmi Rabba and Talmud al Yore Bifnei Rabba. Are these one and the same or not? And while Talmud al-Yorah b'tei Rabba also has an element of the precision and accuracy of the Tzak, mentioned Lorak Mishumach Gerusa El Velo Estayel Eilsa, clearly, predominantly, it's a halacha of Kavod Rabba. The Rabban quotes this halacha of Talmud al-Yorah El Kiva Meshusmi Rabba in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Parakei Halacha Tes, he speaks about it in the context of a cholek, in Rabbo, a person who doesn't treat his Rebbe with proper respect. He speaks about a person setting up a yeshiva without Rishus Rabbo. He speaks about it in terms of Medrash and Talmud Torah, not merely Psak Halacha, and so on. Clearly, the Rambam believes But primarily this halakha has to do with Kavod Rav. In Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin, where the Rambam deals with the matter of smicha, classical smicha, as well as the Tfilas Reshut Reish Galusa we've just seen, there is no mention whatsoever of this halakha of Talmud al Yoreh, Elam King Kibo Reshus Mirah. On the other hand, the Rivash in that Shuvah suggests that what we call smicha, or Ashkenaz called smicha then, in the 14th and 15th century, and what we call smicha today, really is rooted in this idea. But what's fascinating is, the Rivash does not completely reject the Rambam's view that this is bound up with Kvod Rabbo. Indeed, he explains that if not for the fact of Kvod Rabbo, maybe there would be a chiyu to render Piskei Halacha if one were equipped to do so, on the competence. Maybe he'd have the responsibility to be a posek, even if he didn't have that yishur, that authorization. But because of the theme of Kvod Rabbo, his license is going to be limited to getting that authorization. But when he works from Rivash, there's two things. Number one, that this too is a form of smicha. But I think suggested that there was a relationship between the stature and status of this individual, his ability to render proper piskei halacha, letting him loose into the community and so on, and his fidelity to the norms of Kvod Rabbo itself. Person who doesn't understand, again, where the source of his authority comes from, is a person whose piskei halacha might be questionable, is a person whose status and whose stature would be compromised as well. And yet, of course, there are important nafkamina, whether we view this as a license for psak primarily, or even if it is a license for psak, it's rooted in proper kavod rabbo, or maybe it's completely disentangled from it. The Rambam, for example, implies that this is a requirement, of course, while Rabbo is alive, he doesn't have a Rabbo, or a Rabbo ready mupak, or if we're talking about rendering a particular psak da akrai, not setting up a yeshiva in a more permanent way, then there's no problem. According to those who see this as a form of license, and even more so, status and stature of kind of a modern-day equivalent of smicha, it's necessary to receive this license, preferably from Rabbi Mubak, if not from some other authority, who would establish that this is a person who is worthy to go out into the community, a person whose piskei halacha can be part of the solution and not generate problems. According to the Rambam, in any case, the fact that this applies to the Medrash and Kavodno is established. Tosfos on the Pei Amud Aleph, on the other hand, suggests that not necessarily Rabbo, but even Chacham Mahir, Rav David Bonfield, quoting the Chiddush Haran, says that you can substitute Rabbo for the Nesi HaMakom. Again, none of this helps you if this is primarily halacha in Kvod Rabbo. Some Rishonim suggest that it's different if it's Talmud Chaver or the real Talmud, and the Rashba quotes the Rambam as suggesting that if a person has Pura Beim, it might be sufficient that he gets for one. Here, issue goes in the opposite direction. If it's a matter of Kvod Rabbo, one should, of course, get license from multiple rabbis if they contributed to his development. If it's a matter of establishing that he indeed is someone who is roi lahoros, then it would be sufficient that one of them would provide this. Indeed, there's machlokas poskim whether or not this license of Talmud al Yoreh Elam Kein Kibo Reshus Mirabo is ma'akev in rabbinic functions or not. The Rivash that I mentioned earlier, Reish Ayin Aleph, discusses this problem, and the discussion was incorporated into the Shulchan Aruch, and we find different perspectives. Fact is that the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, very interesting piece on this, where he discusses the possibility that Ein Chalitzas of Chalitza, Ein Gitter of Gitin, if a person does not achieve the status of Kabbalah's Rishus Mirabo. And Ramah has a famous tshuva, and so Simon Chabelet, which might be at odds with what he writes ultimately in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, he seems to conclude that Nefilas Rishus Mirabo is lo mechayiv to have a Rishus Bialma. But the Ramah in his tshuva, I'm going to read it very quickly, suggests that even modern day smicha, requires the equivalent of drawing the horos to color Torah kula. Rashi Kasim Mani Gibrei Rambam Shachasu Shesomku Hatsari Amir Omer Sheein Zman Zekim Zmanim Zekim Hamar. So the whole world of this is Rambam. But in the time of the time, in Rashi Hutsu Hutsu, by a Mora Rambam Kamar Shemayim Omer, I will be Zmanim Zeh Sheein Boki Nisei Hatsari Nalo, the Chomi Shedikra B'Shem Oredu Hutar, the Chol Dabar, Ein Sor Hushus Acheres, Nira Gein Hashim Hatsari. Ramos is our two considerations in the modern day Zmanim. One consideration is the fact that the lament that we hear, and we heard it in the 16th century, we obviously hear it even more in our own day, that, you know, the modern day was mocking, people don't check, everybody has the title, people aren't really worthy, and you let them loose on the community, people say, there's no difference, one rabbi and another rabbi, it's all the same. So we have to be doubly certain, we have to take extra precautions to ensure that the people that we are exposing to the community really have a sense of competence and responsibility. So actually, Roy Lahoros Bechol HaTorah Kula is a greater urgency in our day, he was speaking in his day, than it is, than it was even in the classical Smicha Mitan and Rav. Of course, the implication also is that one can compare, one can draw parallels between the oath, Harikasim Aram of the Hedja, Ein Somchim Katsarim and the Kishiroi Lakom, Abu Kishain Roy Lakom, Ein Somchim Katsarim, the Kalaroi Labilan, again, if classical smicha requires, even if you can divide it, roi l'kol haTorah kula, that requirement is necessary, even in this kavod rabo phase of talmid al yora elam kemah parishus rama. The relationship between these two elements in all three phases, the gabra and the license, karle rebbe the nusla mishus rama, of course, is a very powerful thing. Clearly, function is important, but the function is enhanced by the virtue of the fact that it emanates from a person who is currently ready, who is Roy Lahoros Bechol HaTorah Kula. Once that is true, the responsibility to be Mora Hora in the community also enhances further currently ready. Baruch Hashem, we the Talmidim of Rory Rabbi of Lichtenstein, I've had the privilege to be influenced by and shaped by one of the rare Chachmei Mesora of our days. A person who's Roy Lahoros Bechol HaTorah Kula. We experienced this in all of the shiurim and the stichot, in the personal conversations. The depth and range of each discrete unit enhanced by the perspective that encompasses the totality. Megillah, Megillah, and Kasuma, all in one. The vast scope informing the particular presentation. But even more significant than the Shiurim Tochen is the total Yishiyut, the total personality that we've had the privilege to be exposed to over the years. A personality that transcends the sum of its parts. That's really what Karle Rebbe, the Nasan or Rishus, the Horos B'dinei Knossos is really all about. Those who experienced Wednesday night, what I call that magical moment with Sefer Torah, understand that what they were really witnessing was a uniting of two Sefer Torah. The Gemara tells us in Kiddush HaNachman, the Gimel of the Beis, Chum Torah Omedes B'pnei Rabbeha, referring to the Rebbe who was teaching Torah. And of course, the even sharper Gemara in Masechet Makom, Sfat Pesim, the base, Amar Rava, Kama Tipshoi Sharinchi, how foolish are people. The Kaimi Mekama Sefer Torah, they stand in the presence of the Sefer Torah, below Kaimi Mekami Gavar Rava, but they don't realize that they should be standing in the presence of the walking Sefer Torah, a Gavar Rava. Vilu the Sefer Torah Ksiv Arbani. The Torah says 40 Malkas. The Asur Avonon Vatsruchad. The Rabbanan understood how to interpret the Torah. Here's, of course, a very famous discussion, beginning with the Ran, going to the Acharonim, the apparent stira between the two Gemaras. For all that Gemara in Kiddushin also says, Milomdeha omdim mipanel ekol shekein, implying that if you stand in front of Talmidei Chachamim, certainly you have to stand in the presence of the Sefer Torah. That, of course, contradicts the Gemara in Makos we just alluded to, which says if you stand in front of the Sefer Torah, it would be foolish not to realize that one should be standing in the presence of the Talmud Chacham. Sefer Torah, of course, needs no further explanation. Torah Hashem Tanima. It's not, can't find anything more perfect in our world than a Sefer Torah. It's Bar Hashem. Is it possible that standing in the presence of the Talmud Chacham is even more warranted than that? But the resolution is hinted at precisely in that Gemara. Exactly what the Gemara says. The Ilu B'Sefer Torah Ksiv HaBayim. The Asu Rabbanam Batsru Chava. The true Chachmei HaMesorah, we don't just receive and understand, but we know how to interpret and add to the Mesorah. Those who really deserve the title, Karolei Rebbe, those are people who incorporate Torah Hashem Tanima together with the Mesorah, Ishmi P'ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu. With respect to those individuals, it's clear that the Gemara in Makos was absolutely correct. Kama Tipshoi Sharuchi, the Kaimi Mikami Sefer Torah, the Lo Mikami, the Lo Kaimi Mikami Gavara. Again, those of us who have had this course, have experienced this, continue to experience it. May the entire yeshiva community have this course to continue to experience the shefa, the ashras ashchina that the Rambam speaks about in Parag Dalet of Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph, that our Rebbe should be in good health, continue to lead our community at Be'er Yisrael Shabbos.